Ephesians chapter 4, if you'll turn there, please. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look in verse number 7. The Bible says here, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." And we'll skip down to verse number 11. Of course, verses 8 through 10 talk about the time when Christ, after He died, He ascended into the paradise side of Sheol and led captivity captive. He brought out the Old Testament saints, those who were looking forward to His coming, and led them into heaven. Verse 11 says, "And He gave some apostles and some prophets." He's talking about here, He's equipping men to preach the gospel, to share the gospel, to even pen the gospel. And He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, I would tell you that at this point in time where we're living in this year, 2009, the apostles and the prophets have passed off the scene. We no longer need apostles and prophets. Of course, apostles were those who were present with Christ when He was here. Prophets are those who foretold of something to come. And He had His prophets in the Old Testament times. But we don't need any prophets anymore. Why is that? Because we have this. We've got the full canon of the Scriptures. And anything that is prophesied today, and I'll put that in quotation marks, use that loosely. Anything that's prophesied today that does not line up with this Bible, you can throw it out because it's no good. We have all the prophecy we need right here in the Scripture, in the text. He gave some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, worketh according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Lord, we come before You this morning thanking You again for Your grace and Your mercy. Thank You, Lord, for this time we have together, Lord, to look into Your Word, God, and study Your Word. Lord, get into it a little deeper, Lord. I just thank You, God, for, Lord, the times You've given us, Lord, for this fellowship, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I praise You. I magnify Your name. And I thank You, Lord, for this time of fellowship one with another. Lord, I pray You'd bless every teacher. Lord, that You'd use us. God, You'd fill us and thrill us. And Lord, take our infirmities and put them aside, God. We're all feeble. God, we're nothing. We're worthless without You, Lord. Help us, God. Empower us. Fill us with the Holy Spirit, God, this morning. And Lord, help us, God, to see a little deeper in Your Word, God. Give us direction, Lord, understanding, unction. Bless in every aspect of this service today. I pray that You would be the focus and the center point, God, of this service today, Lord. And in every service, God, across this nation, God, and across this world, Lord, where Your gospel is being preached, I pray that You'd be lifted up in every service. Have Your way, Lord. Bless every man of God that stands this morning, God. Fill them with the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost. Let them preach, God, with wisdom, God, and with power, God, and understanding. Lord, bless them, God. Use them, God, in a mighty and a powerful way. Help us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In this text here, I want us to see the building of the body of Christ. The building of the body of Christ. Now, there's all kind of church growth seminars that we hear advertised that are talked about, especially in denominational organizational realms. They have seminars, they have conferences on church growth. There's books out about church growth. How do you grow your church? How does your church grow? What do we do to grow the church? All kind of programs that are out. But right here in this text that we see here is God's design for the building of the church. for the edifying of the church, the building of the body of Christ. I want you to first of all notice in our text here, in verse number 12, the progression of the pattern, of God's pattern. The progression of God's pattern in building His church. He said there in verse 11 that He gave some apostles, prophets, and then He said evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of the saints. Now, notice again, I would say that this is God's pattern here for equipping and for building His church. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18, Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So, it must be according to His plan. Well, what is His plan? Now notice His progression, the progression of God's pattern in building His church. First of all, we notice here in verse number 12, equipping. That word perfecting there is defined as equipping. In its definition, it means a complete furnishing of what He has equipped us to do. Now, equipping, it refers to that which is fit. Notice here in our text here, He said, for the perfecting or the equipping of the saints. He gave these evangelists and these pastors and teachers. Now, I would that you would notice here that evangelists are those who preach the gospel of salvation. They are those men who go from place to place, and we support several evangelists here in our ministry, who are tremendous men of God, who are a blessing, and God is using in a great and a mighty way throughout this nation, across this land. They are going about preaching the gospel of salvation, but not only that, but they're encouraging the saints as they go. They're encouraging saints of God. But we also see here two others mentioned, pastors and teachers. And you could kind of correlate those and kind of put those together, pastor, teacher. They provide leadership and spiritual resources. They cause believers to take on a likeness of our Lord and Savior through continual obedience to His Word. And the pastor, teacher provides a pattern or an example of godliness. And we've got a good pattern to look to with our pastor. He is a pattern. He's a pattern. Paul said it. Now, let's go to 1 Thessalonians right quickly. 1 Thessalonians. We're talking about equipping. We're talking about equipping here. God has a pattern for equipping us. Go here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And verse number 2. Paul writing here. He said here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 2, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And notice verse 6. This is big, right? This is strong. And you became followers of, what's that word? Us. Yeah, I mean, this is Paul writing. This is not Christ writing. This is Paul. But Paul was so in tune with Christ, and he was walking so close to Christ, that he said, you can follow me. You can follow me. He said, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. So you see here, these pastor teachers that he's talking about, that Christ said, I have given you, they are equipping you, they're living a godly example before you to equip you so that you can be, as in verse 7, what he said there, so that ye were examples to all that believe. So see, there is a pattern there. You see, God sends that pastor to teach us the Word of God, and not only that, to show us a pattern of how to live, and then we receive the Word of God, and we watch and we observe the pattern that He's demonstrating before us, so that we grow in grace, and we can be an example to somebody else. You see? So that pattern is going on and on. They're equipping. He said, I'm equipping you. He said, the perfecting of the saints in our text, the equipping of the saints. The equipping of the saints. Now notice, not only here he said you became followers of us. Now, well, now what are they doing? What example are they setting? Let's look at the example the apostles said in Acts chapter 6. Look at what they did. Acts chapter 6. I want you to see this now. Very, very good, good example that they set here. And this is what they said. This is the example that they showed forth. In Acts chapter 6, the Bible says now, and in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, verse 1 there, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now again, understand that the apostles here were the pastors of that time. They pastored the congregation. He said, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this bit. And boy, that word just jumped out at me as I was studying this, because he said, brethren, look ye out among ye seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. But then they said, whom we may appoint. So understand that it all comes back to the pastor. He's the one that makes the decision. But he said, whom we may appoint over this business. Verse 4, here it is. You want to see an example? This is the example they set. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. What a godly example. What an example that they would set forth. They say, we want you to choose you out men among you that are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom to oversee the matter of ministration. But they said, we will continually give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. Prayer and the ministry of the Word. So that is the example of the pastor. For 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 tell us, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, and that is complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You see, the Word of God is given to us for our benefit. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, the Bible says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. He is equipping us. He is equipping us, and we have His Word. And again, as the pastor, teachers, evangelists, they share the Word with us. They teach us the Word of God. And then they show us that example. Then we turn around and we share that example with others. We are to be that example. We are to be equipped to work and to do the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see here that He is equipping us in verse number 12. He said, for the perfecting or the equipping of the saints, to be equipped. For what? For what? Notice what he says here. For the work of the ministry. Back in our text. For the work of the ministry. So not only is he equipping, but he's equipping us for serving. He's equipping us for serving. The work of the ministry. You see, it's not the gifted men, the evangelists, the pastors, teachers, who have the most direct responsibility to do the work of service. I don't know if you realize that or not, but it's not their direct responsibility to do the work of service. God is equipping us as saints of God to do the work of service. His responsibility, Brother Ken's responsibility is not, is really, it doesn't tell us in the Bible that he's to go visit the sick. It's not his responsibility to go visit the shut-in. It's our responsibility. It's on us. What's his responsibility? What did Acts chapter 6 there tell us? What did the apostles say? What they said is, we don't have time really to do this and to effectively pray and study. We gotta pray and we gotta study. We gotta feed the flock. His responsibility is to feed the flock and to lead us, to oversee us. But we are to do the work of the ministry. We're to be the hands. We're to go out and do the things that God has called us to do. In the work of the ministry, the serving is our responsibility. And I know a lot, not many people like to serve. I mean, There ain't many folks that want to. There ain't many folks that want to, you know, carry the tea jug around, so to speak. I mean, there ain't many people want to do that. Give a little glass of water here or there, whatever. But that's our duty. That's our job. That's our responsibility to serve. He said he gave us these evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip us for the work of the ministry. Verse 16 emphasizes every joint. Now look in verse 16 down there. Let's just skip down because, again, we're talking about it's not the gifted men, the evangelists, pastors, teachers. It's not their direct responsibility to do the work of service. They're to preach and to share the gospel. But it's our responsibility. Verse 16 says, every joint. He said, to whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. So you're not left out of this. I hate to tell you. I mean, if you didn't want to hear it, but you're going to hear it anyway. We're not left out of this. It's our duty. It's our responsibility to do the work of service. And if there's serving that's going to be done in Liberty Baptist Church, it's on every one of us. It's on all our shoulders. It's not his responsibility to serve. His responsibility is to pray and study and preach. Okay? It is our responsibility to serve. So when we get upset because the pastor didn't come see Aunt Sally because something happened to her or whatever, you got to realize it's not his responsibility. Call somebody else. Call another brother or sister and say, hey, look, you know, Aunt Sally's in the hospital, you know, whatever. And we get the word out and say, all right, let's go see them. You know, let's go visit with them. You know, us. But it's not his responsibility. It's not his. If he goes and visits, that's great. I mean, I'm glad to see the pastor coming anytime too. But it is not his responsibility. So don't sull up and get mad if he don't show up. Because he's got more important things to deal with. I'm telling you now, folks, listen. Now, understand. Now, you know, I may end up in the hospital or whatever. And my mama was in the hospital this week. I didn't even call him. Because he's got more important things to deal with. We got other folks that can pray. We got other folks that can visit. And so don't get upset. And don't get upset if you don't show up. Let him do what he's called to do. And he's called to study and preach. And we're called to serve. We're called to serve. So maybe you need to look at somebody else when you if you're gonna get sullen and upset about it, something like that. All right. Anyway. I'll move on. All right. The whole church is to be aggressively involved in the work of the Lord. Let me say that again. The whole church is to be aggressively involved in the work of the Lord. Every joint, every part is to be working together. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look there. 1 Corinthians 15. I want you to see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Boy, it's a weighty verse right here. 1 Corinthians 15. Therefore, verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Got ahead of myself. I'm starting to read it before I even tell you what verse it is. 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Look at here now. Look at this next word. Always. Always, always, abounding. And that word abounding means to be in excess, to excel. In other words, to have enough and to spare. In other words, don't just do enough just to get by. But to excel, to do more than really what's expected of you. Just do more and more and more. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor, that tells me there's some work there. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Folks, listen. He has called us for a work. He has called us to minister and to work in the church and in the field that he sends us into through the week. And our labor is not in vain. And we should never grow weary in the labor, but always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because he's not slack concerning his promise, and he will reward those that labor for him. So don't worry about the payday, because payday is coming. You might as well get ready for a payday. And it's a payday like you've never seen before. If you will labor, if you will abound in the work of the Lord and not back down, and do it in the right attitude, in the right manner. Don't do it and say, I just hate doing this. I can't stand, but I gotta do it because it's my duty. Now if you go in that attitude, you're not gonna get any reward because of it, for it. But if you'll go with the right attitude on your heart and you'll say, Lord, I am so glad to get to serve you. I mean, Lord, I just praise you. Lord, you've done so much for me. I mean, just to do this little part, just to take this little part in your work, in your ministry, it's an honor for me. It's an honor. And folks, you'll get a blessing. And I'm going to tell you something. Not only will you get rewarded when He sees you, when you see Him face to face, but guess what? He's going to give you a little bit when you go. Because when you go in there and you visit that shut in, that maybe that they're down and out and discouraged or whatever, and you go to be a blessing, and guess what? Then you get a blessing for going. And that's just a little, that's the tantalizing part of it, because that's not all of it, because He's going to reward you greater when He sees you face to face. But He gives you that reward, I mean, an immediate reward, just going with the right attitude. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, the Bible says, But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Show forth the praises. Show forth the praises. Work in the work of the ministry. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Turn there, please. We're talking about serving here. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We've all received the gift of the grace of God. It's not limited just to a pastor or a teacher or an evangelist, but we all have received the grace that we that are saved have received the gift of the grace of God. And He said, even so minister the same one to another. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things might be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. So we've all been given that gift, and we are to minister. When gifted men who are faithful in prayer and teaching the Word, when they are faithful in prayer and teaching the Word of God, the local church will be properly equipped and rightly motivated to do the work of service. So as Brother Ken is gifted and faithful in prayer and teaching the Word, we will be properly equipped. And guess what, folks? We are properly equipped. We have been equipped to do the work of service. We have no excuse. We have no idea of where we can go back and say, well, you know, I didn't really know if I was supposed to do this or not, it wasn't really clear to me that, you know, we were really supposed to visit somebody like that or whatever. You'll have no excuse. Because, folks, I'm going to tell you, the preaching we've heard over the past, I don't know how many, 13 years, 14 years, we have no excuse. It's been the Word of God. And so we don't have an excuse in not serving. So we see here that we're building the body of Christ. We're talking about the progression of God's pattern. He's equipping us. He's equipping us there in our text. He said, for the perfecting or the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the work of the ministry. Not only that, but we also see a building up here in this text. He said, for the edifying of the body of Christ, the edifying of the body of Christ. So not only is He equipping and we are serving, but what's happening is there's a building going on. There's a building going on for the edifying of the body of Christ. Proper equipping by the evangelists, pastors, and teachers, leading to proper service by the congregation, results inevitably in the building up of the body of Christ. You see, this is God's pattern. This is God's pattern. His pattern for building His church. You see, He's not here to actually do the work, but He's here in us. And He's doing the work through us. You see, I'm His hands. See, I'm His feet. I'm His feet. You're His feet. I'm not going to put it, it's not all on me. It's all of us. It's all, and I'm telling you, you may not like to hear it, but it's all of us. So we don't have an excuse. We're all a part of this. It leads to the building up of the body of Christ. Edifying literally refers to the building of a house. Now, Paul is speaking here about the spiritual edification and development of the church. And he said there, he said for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. Now, listen, the body is built up externally through evangelism. Well, in other words, we reach out. We reach out. We preach the gospel out that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. People are saved. Men, women, boys, and girls are saved. The church is added to on an outward basis. In other words, it's built up externally through evangelism. But the emphasis here in our text is being built up internally as all believers are nurtured to fruitful service through the Word. Acts chapter 20, verse number 32. Acts 20. I want you to see this. Acts 20. He's talking about an internal building, strengthening, maturing, growing of the body of Christ internally, internal growing. Acts chapter 20, the Bible says in verse number 31, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified." He said, "I commend you." Look what he said there now. He said, "I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up." It is through the word of God, through the studying, the preaching, the teaching of the word of God that we are built up internally. That the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is strengthened and matured internally. You see, without the Word of God, we will not grow. We will not mature. We will not realize our full potential in Christ if we don't study the Word of God. If we're not taught the true Word of God, we will not realize our potential in Christ. And if we don't seek His will in prayer, in what He would have for us to do, we will not realize our full potential. We will not grow in Him. But He's talking about growing spiritually. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." See, look, folks, reading these things, reading these texts, the scriptures we've just gone to, don't you get the idea that He didn't want to stay a baby? Don't you get that idea? Now, and we're talking spiritually speaking here now. Now, listen. When we're physically born, we're born a baby, and you know we have to drink milk. We can't have anything of substance like meat or anything like that, or you know even bread. But as we grow, we kind of wean ourselves off that milk. Our mother weans us off that milk, and then we begin to eat solid foods. And the same principle applies to the Christian growth and Christian life. When you start out, you're going to be on the milk of the Word. You can't. There's things in the Word of God that you won't be able to understand. It's going to take study. It's going to take prayer. It's going to take growth before you get to the point where you get on that meat. Then you begin to get into the meat of the Word. Okay, you begin to get into that meat of the Word of God. And I'm telling you what, folks. Listen, He's talking about He's wanting us to grow. He's wanting us to mature. Don't stay a baby. Don't stay a spiritual baby all your life. Grow up. Grow up, folks. Grow up. Because, listen, if we don't grow, again, as I said, we're not going to realize our full potential, and we're not going to be the servants that God wants us to be in the church. In His church, He's wanting to build it. He's wanting to build it. And He's wanting to use us to do it. That's what's so great about this thing, is that He wants us to be a part of it. He said, "I want to use you to build it. I want to use you. I want you to be my hands. I want you to be my feet. I want you to be my mouth, my voice. I want you to speak. Share the gospel with others. And encourage others when they're down. You know, share a word of scripture with them when they're down. Encourage, so that we may be built up." Ephesians 2. Look there right quickly. Ephesians 2. I want you to see this. Ephesians 2. I know I'm running out of time. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, the Bible says in verse number 19, "Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom," talking about Christ, "all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." You see, we're building. He's building his church, and he's using us to build his church. He's using us. We've been equipped to minister. We've been equipped to work. We've been equipped to do the work that he's called us to do. We have that responsibility. It's there. And so he wants us to do this. He wants us to follow his will and to do his will in the work of the ministry. And we have no excuse, folks. We have no excuse to not do the work. So we are to be found faithful in the work of the ministry. He's building. We're talking about building the body of Christ. We said the progression of God's pattern, the progression of his pattern. But not only that, but let's notice the purpose of God's pattern, the purpose of his pattern here. Look back in our text again. In Ephesians chapter 4, he said here in verse number 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. And that's the first thing we see in the purpose of God's pattern. He wants unity of the faith. Now, faith here does not refer to an act of belief or obedience but it refers to the body of Christian truth or doctrine. He's not talking about, when he says unity of the faith, he's not talking about just the act of salvation or the act of believing to be saved. But he's saying, I want you to come to unity of the faith. That is, believing on the whole body of Christian doctrine. In other words, having the right Bible doctrine. Having the right Bible doctrine. Oneness and fellowship is impossible unless it is built on the foundation of commonly believed truth. I mean, we're not going to have fellowship one with another if we don't have the right doctrine. He said oneness, the unity of the faith. I want you to be unity. Disunity comes from doctrinal ignorance and spiritual immaturity. And the church in Corinth was a prime example of that, because Paul wrote to him in 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. He said, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You see, the church in Corinth had issues. I mean, there were these that believed this, and those that believed another type of doctrine or whatever, and it was conflicting. There was no unity. There was no unity of the faith. There can never be unity in the church apart from doctrinal integrity. There can never be unity in the church apart from doctrinal soundness. Folks, we've got to believe the right doctrine. I mean, you better get. And how am I going to know? Well, how do I know what the right doctrine is? Well, you better study the Word of God. Know what it is. It'd do you good if you'd listen on Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday night instead of looking out the window or worrying about what you're going to do when you get home or whatever. If you'd listen and let your mind soak in on the Word of God, because that's the only way you're going to get. You're going to get that doctrinal soundness. Only a biblically equipped, faithfully serving and spiritually maturing church can attain the unity of the faith. So not only the unity of the faith is his purpose, but also the knowledge of Christ is a purpose. Notice here in our text in verse 13. He said, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. The knowledge of Christ. Paul is not talking about, again here, salvation knowledge, but about a deep knowledge. You see, he's not dealing, again, when he said there, the unity of the faith, he's not talking about just saving faith. He's talking about faith in the whole body of Christ, the body of the doctrine of Christ. And here in knowledge of Christ, he's not talking about just a saving knowledge, but a deep knowledge. Folks, you should never be satisfied just with knowing Christ, that he can save you, that he has saved you. I mean, that's just a start. Get to know him intimately. Get to know him, get to know what he wants for you. Get to know be like John. And I know, again, he's not here for me to crawl up in his lap and sit and listen to his heartbeat. But spiritually speaking, we ought to do that. Get up in his lap. Listen to what he has to say. Listen to his heartbeat. What do you want? And you know, the thing about it is, if we do that, then we'll find ourselves, you know, you heard the thing, what would Jesus do? That was that big thing that came out a few years ago. That was the saying, what would Jesus do? You'd be doing what he'd do. If you crawl up in his lap, spiritually speaking, seeking his will, praying, seeking his face. The knowledge of God. It's through a relationship with Christ that comes only from prayer and faithful study and obedience to God's word. A couple of scriptures here I want us to refer to. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, just a page or two back here. Ephesians 1, I want you to see this, and I'll try to hurry and be done. Ephesians 1, verse 15. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, again, here again, this is Paul writing. You remember what I said? Paul said, y'all became followers of us. And he said also, Paul also told him, he said, be ye therefore followers of me as I am also of Christ. Well, right here, he's setting a pattern. He said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And that's not really the point of what I was going to this scripture for, but that's a good point there. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, listen now, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. He said, I want you to know Him deeply. I want you to know Christ deeply. He said, I heard about your faith in the Lord and your love for the saints. But he said, since I heard that, I've been giving thanks for you and making mention of you and asking that God would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. He said, I want you to know Him like I know Him. I want you to know Him like I know. I wonder, how do we know Christ? How well do you know Him? How well do you know the Lord? Knowledge of Christ. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. Let's turn there quickly. How well do you know Him? Colossians 1. That's his purpose. The purpose of His pattern in building the church. That we may know Him. Colossians 1. Here's Paul again. Colossians 1, verse number 9. Look at this again. Look what he says again. For this cause, we also, verse number 9, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. What kind of, again, he's setting an example. We talked about the example back in the first point. He said, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. He said, I want you to know Him. Know Him deeply. Walk worthy, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Don't be satisfied. Don't be satisfied just to be a Sunday morning go to church Christian and everything's all right. Don't be satisfied. I know I'm saved and that's good enough for me. Well, that should never be good enough for any of us. That should never be good enough for a child of God. We should never be satisfied with I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and that's it. We ought to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, I'm in this thing. I mean, you saved me. You saved my worthless hide. I mean, you redeemed me. You gave your best for me. You gave your best so that I could be saved. Lord, I want to give something back. What can I do for you, Lord? What can I do for you? How well do you know Him? How well do you know? I'm not asking you, do you know Him? That's not the question. How well do you know Him? How well do you know Him? He's looking for us to grow spiritually. Grow spiritually. His knowledge and spiritual maturity. He's looking for us to have sound doctrine there in our text. And I'm just going to push on through this right quick. I'm going to be done. He's looking for us to have sound doctrine. He said there, to a perfect man of the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Neither the trickery of men nor the deceitful scheming of the devil will mislead the spiritually equipped and mature believer. You see, that's what's wrong today in a lot of places, and a lot of Christians, even, I'll say that, they're misled by wrong doctrine because they've not studied the Word. Maybe they've not sat under a man of God that preaches the truth. I mean, you know, if I sat under some of these high-powered evangelists that's on TV, I wouldn't have very good doctrine either. And I mean, every little thing that came along, you'd fall after it. I'm going to tell you, folks, it matters what doctrine. I'm telling you, it matters the doctrine that you're getting at your local church. And I praise God for the fact that we've got truth here. Sound doctrine. He wants us to have that sound doctrine. But not only do we see the progression and the purpose for His pattern, but we see the power for His pattern. Look in verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now notice there's a little colon right there after Christ, his name. And then verse 16 continues, from whom? From who? From Christ. The whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. I mean, that's everybody working together. According to the effectual working, the measure in every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. He's talking about building it up. Hey, and he said edifying of itself in love. If we're going to grow in love, we got to all be working together. We got to all be doing our part. We got to all be doing our part if we're going to grow. The power for his pattern is Christ. Christ holds the body together and makes it function by that which every joint supplies. The joints are points of contrast. The joining together or the union where the spiritual supply and the resources and the gifts of the Holy Spirit pass from one member to another, providing the flow of ministry that produces growth. You know, are you letting the power of God flow through you? Are you cutting it off? Are you cutting it off? Maybe the power of God's flowing from one person to you, another person to you, whatever. Are you stifling it? Is it stopping with you? And you're just kind of holding it in. You're containing it. You need to let it flow. Let it flow. Let the love of God flow. And let His Word flow through you. The growth of the church is not a result of clever methods, but every member of the body fully using his or her spiritual gift in close contact with other believers. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. If Liberty Baptist Church is going to grow and continue to grow, and I say it's grown, but if Liberty Baptist Church is going to continue to grow, and I'm talking about spiritually. Now, numbers will come, but the most important growth is the growth of believers in the church. Because if we grow spiritually and we realize what God's called us to do in the work of the ministry, then others will be added to the church. You see, but it takes it. It's all working together. God bless you. You're dismissed.